All right, everybody, we are back with .NET Conf Focus on Blazor. We have on the phone or Skype call Michael Washington, who is going to be talking to us about authentication and authorization in our Blazor application. How's it going, Michael?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great. So what kind of content are you going to cover for us today?
Well, we're going to cover how to authenticate your users with your Blazor applications, including covering some scenarios for implementing some out-of-the-box or unusual authentication situations.
Great. Well, take it away. It's all yours.
Okay, thank you. Hello, .NET Conf. This is Course Focus on Blazor, and we're going to be covering Microsoft, Google, and cookie authentication and authorization. Again, I'm Michael Washington of the BlazorHelpWebsite.com. What we're going to cover today is Microsoft, Google, and cookie authentication. However, I'm going to start off first with an overview of the authentication state and the authorized view component. The takeaway I want you to get from this overview is that what I'll be covering will apply to everything. So it doesn't matter how you authenticate your users, whether you're using Microsoft, whether you're using server-side or client-side, the authentication state and the authorized view code that you will write will be the same. So let's go ahead and dive in. So this is the overview. Authentication state. Is the person authenticated? For server-side Blazor, it's pretty much built in. So the authentication state provider is just building upon what's already in the ASP.NET core. But for client side, you'll typically need to implement a custom authentication state provider. So we'll walk you through every single step that you need for that. A couple more things on authentication state. So you'll first want to set it up in your app Razor file, using authorize route view or wrapping the code in cascading authentication state like you see and I have in the image below. This allows you to get access to the authentication state in procedural code using the cascading parameter that you see here. So as you see here at the top, I put in the cascading parameter. In the middle there, I'm able to then determine who the user is. And then once I know who that user is, I can then, of course, pass that user along to, for example, this method says only get the forecast for the currently logged in user. The authorized view component, this is used in your Razor markup, and it's a very simple thing where you just have your authorized view component, you have your template, authorized template, not authorized template. Obviously, what's shown in the authorized template only shows when the person's logged in, and not authorized, the opposite. Okay, so let's dive into some examples. So I'll first show some slides and then I'll show it to you live. So for Microsoft authentication, using server-side Blazor, this is the built-in system. It's really easy to use. You just open up Visual Studio, create a new project. We'll select Blazor app. Of course, we'll give the project a name. We'll select Blazor server app. In the next example, we'll be doing the Blazor WebAssembly app. Under authentication, we'll click change. And the menu that you see here is the standard menu that you would see with any .NET Core project with all of the various options. In this case, we'll choose the typical option, which is individual user accounts, store user accounts in app. We'll go ahead and click create, and we have a project. We could hit F5 here, run this project, and it would actually work. It'll be using LocalDB for the database. However, what I like to do is connect to my local SQL server. Here I'm connecting to localhost, and I like to create a new database and, of course, give the database a name. And when I go into properties for that database, I can get the connection string. I can then take that connection string, go into the app settings JSON file of the project that was created for me, and there'll be a default connection property. I can go ahead and put in the connection string to my local database and then hit F5 to run the project. At this point, the project has been created, however, the database has not been set up. To set up the database, the first person to go in, which is me, clicks on the register button, creates an account, and then the application realizes that the database is not set up, so the migrations screen will come up. I go ahead and say apply migrations, I refresh the web browser, I click the continue button, there'll be this register confirmation page. If you don't want this to happen because you don't plan to actually have confirmed emails, in the startup file, there is an option that you can turn off confirmed accounts or default is set to true. You can set it to false, and then you won't see this register confirmation page. Either way, go ahead and click the link, click on the name of the application, and then everything is set up. At this point, I can click the login button to log in with the account that I just created, and the application works as normal. Okay, so let's see a demo of that. Minimize this here, and minimize the Channel 9 thing there. Okay, so hopefully you're seeing everything here, and of course, minimize that. Okay, so I started up a Blazor app. I, of course, am on okay, so what I've done is I've created my test database, and I'm going to go into my app settings JSON file, and I'm going to insert the connection to my local database. I'm going to go ahead and click F5 to run the application so that it'll then come up. Give it a second to build and open up my web browser. And I'll go ahead and crank up the resolution there a little bit so you can see what's going on. Now at this point, the application is set up. However, the database hasn't been set up. So I'll go ahead and click the register. Go ahead and create an account here. Put my strong password in. Click register. At this point, the application realizes that it hasn't been set up, so the Apply Migrations comes up. I go ahead and hit Refresh, hit Continue, and click this button, click here, and now the application has been set up. So at this point, I can log in using the account that I just created. And when I'm logged in, the application will work. In addition, when I click on my name here, I can have options to change my email, my password, as well as this personal data section, whereas I can download my data and, of course, delete my account because there are certain legislative things where you have to offer those sorts of options. So now, we will look at client-side authentication, and in this example, we'll be using Azure AD. So again, we're going to start a new project with Visual Studio, create a new project, create a Blazor app, give the application a name. However, in this case, we're going to check the Blazor WebAssembly app. If you don't see this template, go to blazor.net, click on documentation, and there'll be directions on how to download and install this template if you don't already have it. So once it's installed, we select it. We also ensure that we have ASP.NET Core hosted selected, and then we'll create the project. Actually, we'll create the solution, which creates three projects. A client project at the top, which will be running in the person's web browser, a server project that you see in the middle that, of course, runs a server-side code, and a shared project that will have components that are shared between the server and client project. So the next step is to set up Azure Active Directory. And we need to have a URL callback into this application, and we'll need the port settings. So we're going to go ahead and open up the launch settings JSON file, and we're going to copy this port setting for the SSL port because we're going to need that in the next step. We're then going to go to portal.azure.com. We'll create a free Azure account if we don't already have one. If we do have one, we'll go ahead and log in, and we'll click the Azure Active Directory node. We'll then click the App Registrations, New Registration, and we'll create a new registration. The key thing here is on the redirect URL that points right back to our application after the person is authenticated, you'll need to replace that 44302 with the SSL port we copied earlier. After we create this registration, we go to the Overview tab and we'll see a client ID. We're going to copy that because we'll need that in the next step. And before we leave this, we're going to go to the authentication node and ensure that ID tokens is set and go ahead and click Save. Now we're going to return back to the Visual Studio, back to the project, open up the app settings JSON file, and we're going to add a new section called Azure AD with three properties: instance, client ID, and callback path. So you'll copy this and use this exactly as you see it. However, for the client ID, you'll use a client ID that you copied earlier. Then we're going to add some NuGet packages to support the login flow functionality. So we'll add a NuGet package, microsoft.asp.net core.authentication.azuread.ui, to the server project. And to the client project, we're going to add the microsoft.asp.net core.components.authorization package. Also in the server project, we're going to open up the startup file, add a couple of using statements, and then add a configuration property to allow us to read the settings that we put into the app settings JSON file. Now here's the meat of it. It's the middleware. So in the configure services section, we're just going to put this boilerplate code that will control the authentication flow for logging into using Azure AD. And in the configure section, we're also going to add using authentication and using authorization. Now, in the client project, we need to have some import statements, so we're going to add those. And now we're going to start the process of implementing our custom authentication provider. The custom authentication provider first needs to know, is a person logged in or not? So in the shared project, we're going to make a new class called Blazor User, which has a single property of username. And we're going to create a user controller in the server project whose only purpose is when it's called to either return a username or not return a username. This is to indicate if the person is logged in or not. Also, in just to demonstrate how you protect your server-side code, in the weather forecast controller that was created for us by default, we're going to add some using statements, and then we're going to put the authorize tag. So this means that the only way to call that controller is if you're an authorized user. Now we're going to implement the custom authentication state provider. And this is actually a lot easier than you think. So we just create a class, doesn't matter what you call it, I call it custom authentication provider. And I don't know if you can see my mouse here, but your custom authentication provider needs to inherit from authentication state provider. Then it needs to implement just one method called getAuthenticationState. And this method needs to create a claims identity either with a person in it or blank. If a person is in it, then that means that the person's logged in. If the claims identity is blank, as you see down here, then that means the person's not logged in. So in this implementation, it's going to call that get user controller that we created. And if it says that there's a user, it'll create the claims identity for the person. So just again, what the custom authentication provider needs to do is just create a claims identity with a person if they're logged in, or a blank one if they're not, and that's how Blazor will know if the person's logged in or not. Now we just need to register this. So in the startup project, in the client project, we just add some using statements, and then we basically have these three lines. First, we turn on authorization by making a call to, by invoking add authorization core. We then register our custom authentication provider. And then finally, we set our custom authentication provider as the authentication state provider. And now we've set up the custom authentication provider. We're going to go open up the app.razor, which I mentioned before. And by using authorize route view, if a route is found, the authorization will be passed through. And if it's not found, we just wrap that code in cascading authentication state. So therefore, in our login display, we can now use the authorized view tags to say, okay, show the sign out if they're authorized, or show the login if they're not. In our main layout, we'll just put our login display in there. One quick thing, when a person is signed out, they're sent to a URL, account/sign out. We really want the person to end up on the main page. So we can just add this additional routing tag to the main page so that when a person signed out, they'll be taken to the main page. So we kind of get the flow that we're looking for. In the fetch data page, we can now use that authorized view tag to only show certain sections if they are authorized. In our procedural code, we have access to the cascading parameter where we can get access to the current user. And then in this code, we only call the server-side weather forecast controller if the person is authenticated. So let's go ahead and take a quick look at that. Sorry, I thought I already had that opened up. The key thing to take away from this is that this code here with the authorized view, it doesn't matter how the person logged in or was authenticated. This code to handle displaying things or not displaying things or determining who the current user is, that code is the same. So whether it's server-side Blazor, client-side Blazor, whether we're using Microsoft, whether we're using Google, that final part of the code, that part stays the same. So here, as you see, I'm not logged in. If I go to fetch the data page, it says I'm not logged in. When I click log in, notice it's going to redirect me to Microsoft to log in. And unfortunately, because I was already logged in, it didn't show me the login screens, but it did authenticate me through Microsoft. And now when I go to fetch data, it takes a little moment for that server side, but see, it shows that I'm logged in. And of course, the rest of the app works as normal. And if I refresh the web browser, of course, it still keeps me logged in until I log out. Go ahead and stop that. And let me get the next one ready for us here and return back to the slides. Let's look at Google authentication. Again, we'll just create a normal Visual Studio project, create a new project, Blazor app, give it a name, and it just creates a very simple. Again, we're back to server-side Blazor, but again, you could make this work with client-side Blazor too, but we just have a simple Blazor app actually with no authentication. We're going to go ahead and install a NuGet package. This time, we're going to install the Microsoft.ASP.NET Core.Authentication.Google, and like we had to set up authentication on Azure for the Azure AD, for Google, we're going to go to Google Sign-In for Websites and configure a project. We'll give the project a name, we'll give the OAuth client a name, we'll select Other, and when we click Create, they will give us back a client ID and a client secret. We're going to copy that down, we'll need that for the next step. We'll return back to Visual Studio, open up the appsettings.json file, and like we did with the Azure AD, this time we're going to add a Google section with four properties, instance, client ID, client secret, and callback path. Use the code as you see it here, except replace the client ID and the client secret with the ones that you obtained earlier. In the startup file, like we did before, we have some using statements. We have our configuration property. Now for our middleware, in this case, we are invoking using cookies, and we're configuring adding Google. Notice here I'm asking for additional claims. For example, I want to see the picture and the profile so that I can display the picture in the Google profile in the application. So therefore, to access this later, I'm invoking the HTTP context accessor, so I'm configuring that. Again, I use a cookie policy and use authentication. Now, I'm going to implement my own login and logout pages. And the login page is actually quite straightforward. When a person comes to the page, we declare the Google provider. We call challenge result. This will trigger that middleware that you saw me configure in the startup file. The person will be sent to Google to authenticate. When they come back, that's the section at the bottom. And essentially what this does is it creates a claims principle like we were doing before. And that pretty much sets the cookie. It does a redirect. The app refreshes and the person's logged in. For the sign out page, it simply calls sign out, which simply removes the cookie. We can go into our login control. Here at the top there, you can see that I'm going to have the avatar. This is where it's going to display the avatar, the Google avatar. So in the procedural code, that's where I'm calling the HTTP context accessor so that I can pull that out of the claims that were generated. My main layout, I just have my reference to my login control. But then at that point, your authorized view tags, all your cascading parameter stuff, all that works exactly the same as before. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at that. And I'll go ahead and run that. Again, you're seeing this code on the fetch data page where the authorized view looks exactly like it did with the other authentication that we did for Azure AD. So here, we're on the page, I'm not signed in. I click login, it redirects me to Google. Google, of course, takes care of the authentication, passes me back to the app, and you see I'm able to actually pull in my avatar. And now the fetch data page is showing me that, okay, you're logged in, and we're now going to show you the page. And of course, I can log out. This guy wants to hang around. Okay. So for the final example, jump back into my slides. So the final example will be cookie authentication. The reason why we're covering this is, let's say that you had some sort of authentication that's just not covered by any other scenario. For example, let's say you want to authenticate someone against the mainframe. This is how you would do it. Go ahead and create an application. Server-side Blazor app, manage NuGet packages. In this case, we're starting from scratch. This is bare bones, so we have a lot more packages to install here. But we go ahead and install them. In the startup file, we add our course or using statements here. There was nothing to put into app settings, so that we don't have that part. And for our middleware, we're just declaring cookie authentication. So we have a cookie policy at the top there, and at the bottom part, it just simply says we're adding authentication, and it's cookie authentication. We have to add the HTTP context accessor and the HTTP client. And of course, we have to wire up a couple more things here than normal because, you know, this is bare bones, so we have to do everything ourselves, but that's pretty much it. Now let's look at the login logout page. What's surprisingly here is that this looks pretty similar to what we were doing with the Google one. However, in this example, because I'm actually not doing authentication, I'm basically saying whatever's passed in, I'm just going to create a claims principal and sign you in. But so it's a box in the middle. The box at the top basically signs you out to clear the cookie. But the one in the middle, that's where you could launch off into any sort of other authentication you wanted to do. And if you say, okay, the person should be logged in, you just create that claims principal, call the sign in, and they're signed in. It's really that simple. Sign out page looks pretty much exactly like before. It just calls sign out. So again, you've seen this before. The login control, I can use the authorized, not authorized sections. Everything will display, work as expected. Main layout, I have a reference to the login control. The app.razor, I can just wrap the whole thing in cascading authentication state. That lights it up for the entire application. The only caveat here is that if you're going to make a call into a server-side controller with a Blazor server-side application, there's a couple of more steps that you will need to do. So here I've got a server-side controller that will just return the logged-in person's name. It's very simple. Got a Razor page set up to call that. The highlighted thing simply shows that I'm just calling that get user. When I run the application, I sign in, creates a cookie. As you see, it says hello test user. So Blazor says the person's logged in. But when I make a call to that server-side controller, it's blank. Why is it blank? Well, it turns out that with this scenario, you need to make sure the cookie is passed in the headers. So here it's showing you the code that you can use to grab the cookie, to pass it in the headers, and then everything will work as expected. So let's take a quick look at that as my final example. Close that, open that, run that. And also what I'll do here is I'm going to hit F12 so that we can actually see. Right now I don't have a cookie here. I'm going to go ahead and say test password. When I click login, I don't know if you can see there that the cookie was set. And that's why it says hello test. Of course, my server side works. I hit refresh. I'm still logged in. Everything works. If I were to right click here and delete this cookie, when I hit refresh, notice I'm logged out. So it's pretty much just setting the cookie. Blazor sees that you have the cookie set and everything pretty much works. All the code that I've covered here, as well as every single step, I know it went really fast, is on my website, blazorhelpwebsite.com, and I'll also be uploading the code to the GitHub repo that they're setting up for the blazor.net conf. And that's it.
Hey, Michael, thank you so much. We don't have any questions right now from Twitter. However, I have one, and I was wondering, how, when you set up the form, when you were posting the cookie in that, is that something that I can also provide extra metadata besides just username and password, say if I need an extra ID or anything like that, and authenticate that in the back end?
Well, when you create the claims principle, you can actually add more information in there. So in my example, I was trying to keep it fast and straightforward and simple, but you could put more information there. You can also set additional cookies. So I was showing a very straightforward, simplistic example, assuming that the extra information that people would want, they would probably put in the database and they just need to know what the username is. However, the scenarios are different. One more thing, you can use JWT, so therefore the flow would be different. However, in this case, I did concentrate on doing the cookie-based authentication because Dan mentioned earlier in the opening that the templates that they plan to ship for client-side Blazor in the future will probably be cookie-based authentication.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, with everything being so, I was new, people are just trying to figure out how to, again, take my old skill set and trying to mash it into Blazor and build great application with it. We actually do have one question, and it's okay. Right here. Can I use other providers like Twitch or Yahoo to sign into with Blazor?
Yes. So I try to quickly, put Google in there. So the Google example will probably be the flow that you would use for, Twitch or something like that. If there is a .NET library available, for example, I'm pretty sure Twitter and Facebook have something like that. Otherwise, that cookie-based authentication that I showed, you should be able to hack away at that to work with any provider.
Perfect. No, that's great. Yeah, so it sounds like any provider that we have out there that supports OpenID and OAuth and those open standards, we should be able to use with Blazor, right?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time and to share your talent and your passion for Blazor. That's it.